You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Kia ora te whānau, e whakarongo ana koutou, ki te reo irirangi pōho. You're on the 95BFM Breakfast Show. We've got Stacey Lee in the studio, who is the director of a fantastic documentary called Underplayed. Morena, Stacey, how are you?
Good morning, how are you doing?
Good, thank you so much for coming in and chatting to us today. Let's just start from the very beginning. What made you want to create this documentary? It's looking at dance music, it's looking at electronic music and the place of women in that and what's been going on for women and non-binary folks in this scene. How did you get into this whole world?
I was originally intrigued about electronic music because I think on the surface, just in its very roots, it's an incredibly progressive, innovative industry. Mm. And, you know, just by the way that you're working with technology and the folks that it originally founded a lot of the genres and just its roots in, you know, house music and techno were incredibly inclusive. Mm. and founded by these, you know, black, brown, queer, gay, straight, just these folks who just wanted a safe place in order to express themselves. Mm-hmm. And, you know, create this style of music. And for me, it was this almost like this handbrake shock change when you look at what that industry looks like today.
Yeah.
However many years later, where, you know, the top 100 lists are all, you know, the exact same looking person.
Yeah.
Dominates that. And it feels so far from these really beautiful, diverse roots. Mm. So for me, it was, you know, a big question of like, how do we get here? Why are we here? And then as we look to the role woman played, you know, women from the very beginning were the original tinkerers in their scientific labs.
Yeah, yeah.
The creating this sound.
Tech pioneers as well. Yeah. It's a really interesting documentary because you do start, I mean, with these pioneers of technology and also of the genre as well. So we see like people like Suzanne Ciani, which is mm-hmm. insane that you got to talk to Suzanne Ciani, chatting about her experiences in the industry. And then we follow some of the really massive mainstream artists at the moment, like Alice in Wonderland and Red, who are, you know, selling massive stadiums out. Of course, this was all filmed in 2019 before the world kind of like ground to a halt. But we also hear from other artists who are performing in totally different spaces. So Tigerpur is a really central part of the film and they've been working really hard in the kind of queer space in New York, and their background as a Jamaican queer performer is such a different world to come from. So you're looking at all these different artists and their experiences in the industry. Where do you start with a project as big and as broad as this? Because there is a lot to get stuck into and there are so many tangents you can go down and some great ones that you do explore. But where do you get stuck into this?
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely a logistical beast to wrap our heads around. The place I started actually was conversations. Before I made this film, I wanted to find out, you know, obviously I saw the statistics up front. So, you know, for people who don't know, 3% of technical and production roles in the music industry are, you know, held by women. 0.3% for women of color. Like that for me was just gut wrenching. That's just unacceptable in this day and age. Mm-hmm. You know, as you get into the clubs and festival lineups, you know, it's always under 10-15% of women. So if women are having a hard time getting on these lineups, imagine as that breaks down for more and more underrepresented folks. So
totally.
I knew the statistic was there. Seeing it across the board and all the different facets of so-called success in the industry. So I just started by having conversations. And to be honest, it was very hard to break in because nobody wanted to talk about the fact that they're a woman in the industry. The most important thing people want to talk about is their skills, their craft, how good they are. And so they deserve it.
Totally.
You know,
yeah,
like
yeah.
That's kind of how I realized the tone I needed to take with this film. Yes, sure, we have to talk about the challenge of diversity, but first we have to inspire and show how incredibly badass so many of these women are.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're female entrepreneurs. Alice in Wonderland touches she composes, she sings, she's not just hitting a button, raising her hands in the air and thinking, I'm awesome. Mm-hmm. She's so incredibly multi-talented. Rez does everything. She even engineers her music. Mm. There's this gorgeous, you know, Tigerpur where they weren't allowed to, you know, play at a club. they went and played, created their own club night, and it was incredible. Yeah. So it's just, for me, I saw these trends over and over and over again, and I just realized that that's what I needed to showcase. I needed to showcase on all sides of the business how women, how folks, diverse folks, of people of color, all the rest of it, are creating these alternative business models.
Yeah.
And potentially creating a path for future generations to kind of come up and through.
It's something that I think is really interesting that you just mentioned there, and is actually in the film a lot, is people, you know, being almost afraid to talk about their experiences of the industry because of their gender or because of their identity, because there's like a fear. I think it's Talkie Monster said something along the lines of, you don't want people to think that's the reason you got that Grammy. It's you don't want people to think that's the reason that you're being platformed in this way, because you don't want to be seen as using the thing that's hindering you as like a gimmick. Some sort of a gimmick to get you through the door, which is actually in and of itself kind of a crazy thing to think about. But there is like a real, you know, palpable fear amongst a lot of the people that you spoke with in that film. How did you, I guess, manage to break through that? As you said, you wanted to platform these artists as artists first and foremost, but then get to these conversations where you do discuss what is actually the reality for these people in the industry. What were some of these shared themes, and how did you get to that space with these performers?
Yeah, I mean, the style of filmmaker that I want to be is one that, you know, I kind of fostering these relationships of trust. You know, I'm not going to be able to get incredible content if I walk in the door with the cameras and a bunch of lights and say, all right, tell me your deepest, dirtiest secrets.
Yeah.
It doesn't work that
What's
way.
What's the worst thing that's happened to you in the industry?
So much of it, as I said, I started with conversations on the phone, and the one I had with Tiger Paw to begin with was 4.5 hours long.
Wow.
We had to, it was one of those situations that if we were on Zoom, we would have had to have kept refreshing the, you know, our 45 minutes is up. But, by the time I was in the room with them, we were already at a place of like deep trust and understanding.
Totally.
And as I said, I actually started by just talking about their craft, how their skills, what they're doing, and being able to see. So it was undeniable how talented they were. So then when you see like how much, you know, challenges they've had in terms of breaking through in the industry, you're kind of like, oh shit, this doesn't seem fair.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that was a huge part of it, is breaking through and kind of getting in there. And then those conversations, those hard conversations about gender, I mean, so much of it for me is also being relatable with my own experience. You know, I'm a female in air quotes, filmmaker who's had, you know, had to work twice as hard. There are a lot of very similar themes with my industry, probably with the food industry, probably with architecture.
Yeah.
This isn't just a film which, you know, shines a light on gender, you know, inequality within electronic music. It is actually just talking, these themes permeate all the worlds we live in.
Totally.
And the World Economic Forum says it's going to take 100 years to close the gender gap.
Shit.
So there is a lot of work to be done. It's exhausting.
Yeah.
But I think also too, we live in this false bubble of like, we're incredibly lucky in New Zealand. We have a female prime minister. We have all these role models, female role models that are positive and strong and powerful and able to do incredibly effective things. It does sometimes mean, though, that you've got to continue to look at the immediate workplaces that are around you and see what's happening.
Yeah,
and be able to lift those people up.
Totally. And I think that's another thing that was a very interesting theme in the film, but also that we see reflected in our communities as well. We were just talking about some of the amazing local collectives that have sprung up over the last few years, I guess to try and like mitigate some of the immediate problems of spaces that aren't necessarily always safe for queer folks to go, aren't necessarily welcoming for people of colour, and for DJs to be experiencing that. Of course, the rest of the community is experiencing that too. So you've got amazing crews like Filth and Dynasty and Tamaki Makoto who are hosting parties, are making these spaces. And that's something that Tiger Paws really talks about a lot in their sections of the film. But also you see it in some of the conversations about like these mainstream spaces like Boiler Room, which is this massive online international platform of electronic dance music, and how that, you know, I guess like you want to say neutral space, but of course it's not a neutral space, of the internet can be an incredible boon for people, or it can be hugely career altering in a negative way as well because of the way that people interact with those DJs online. And that's something that, you know, is explored in the film with some of the DJs, and I don't want to give too much away necessarily, but how many times, or like, what were some of these moments that you were talking to DJs and you found these things where, I think it was Sherelle who talked about one DJ's experience that was really negatively career altering through being on Boiler Room, and saying almost like, it's great now that Boiler Room has people who are paid to moderate the comments and to make sure that there's not just like awful, awful trolling happening on there. But there was one woman who had to kind of face the massive brunt of that for that to change. That must have been something you noticed a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. And to be honest, I think that problem, when I was speaking with Boiler Room about the issue of trolling on the internet, it's just becoming a bigger... It's harder to regulate by the performance.
Mm.
When it happened a couple of years ago, which kind of sparked this moderation and of the comments and making sure there's no hate speech and misogyny. And, you know, I mean, this particular artist was told she should kill herself. It was horrific to her confidence, especially when you're doing something so vulnerable as putting yourself out there on a stage and self-expressing, like this beautiful art form.
Yeah.
There's nothing more kind of soul-destroying than, you know,
the vitriol. Yeah.
Exactly, the horrific rhetoric that kind of comes out. And yeah, it's more and more common. I think people, unfortunately, feel more confident behind a screen typing away whatever messages. You would never, I mean, Sherelle says it in the documentary, you would never go up to a DJ at the DJ booth and say, you should kill yourself. You
after
know what
their
I mean?
Set. No, after it's like, set, wouldn't it's happen.
Just, it
yeah.
just, it's, unfortunately, it's created breeding this, and it happens in every industry and happens in every creative industry. But that's a theme, you know, with Instagram. Even Nervo talked about it from the other side of the coin, where they posted a photo of themselves in the studio making music and like
doing,
you know,
the thing they do,
doing the thing they do, owning it, singing, you know, producing, mixing, mastering, doing all the things that they do, and yet the photo that everyone likes and clicks on is them in their bikinis. It's like, it's kind of unfortunate. And the same thing happens to her. I was talking to Asmara, another DJ in the film, and she was talking about the fact that she gets booked more off of her Instagram than she does off her SoundCloud.
It's crazy.
It's very unfortunate that that's the world we kind of live in, and I wonder what it's like on the other side of the coin for male DJs. You know, I don't think people are scrolling and seeing how many ad pics they have before they click book.
Yeah. I mean, this is painting a bleak picture, but it's not something that's necessarily, I think, surprising for a lot of audiences. There's a lot of hope in this film too, though, and I think that's kind of the crux of it. That's almost call to action in a sense, is like, how do we fix this? What's the next step? How do we get past this in the music industry, but also, you know, more widely? And just, you know, I wanted to touch before we let you go on the idea of inclusion writers, because that's something that comes through quite strongly in the film. For people who aren't, you know, familiar with it, what is an inclusion writer?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, to your point, there is a lot of positive stuff. I didn't want to make 87 minutes of women complaining about how shit it is in the music industry. This is actually an incredibly positive story, because I really wanted to create a platform for them to shine, them to be these strong, powerful women that they are. One of the solutions, you know, the film kind of starts to break down and talk through the ways that we can start to be more accountable in the industry. And one of them is this concept of inclusion writer, which is also having a lot of momentum in New Zealand right now. It's a writer that, you know, artists like Toki Monster or Rez or Alice in Wonderland, when they book a show, it basically has a clause in there that says, I will only play this festival if you have, you know, X number of diverse folks, or, you know, what are your statistics? And there's an actual box that you can tick which says, I choose not to be diverse and inclusive at this festival. So that in itself creates a very, even if they festival promoters and organizers are going to tick that box, it actually plants a seed in their brain over and over and over again that this, they're consciously doing it. Because I think what happens a lot of times with festivals is that there's this unconscious, they're just like,
oh, we just booked the best ones,
exactly. and or there's not enough women out there, which is incredibly lazy, and an inclusion writer just holds those people accountable.
Totally.
And it's a position of power that artists can have, like, you know, female artists, artists of color, anybody who's in a position where they have a platform to reach their hand down and lift up whoever's coming next.
Totally.
And that's how you create a pipeline of talent. That's how you create more women on main stages, more diverse folks on main stages, more people creating in the studios in general.
Yeah, absolutely. It is an incredible movie. It will light a bit of a fire in your belly. If people want to go and see it, is it in the cinemas at the moment? What's the buzz? How did they go and get their eyes on it, I guess?
It's unfortunately, due to the challenges of the pandemic, it hasn't had a cinematic release. It's gone straight to the internet. It's on Amazon Prime. It's also on iTunes, Apple Music, all the main ones. But look up underplayedthefilm.com and you'll be able to see how to stream and access it.
Well, Stacey, thank you so much for coming in and speaking to us about the film. We're going to play an MC Tali track. She spoke last night at a panel about this, and her experiences in the music industry echoed a lot of what was in the film. But she is still absolutely kicking ass and making incredible music despite all of the crap out there. So this is her track, Blazin'.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.